This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out on Old Dan again this morning, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And it's so happy. I'm so happy to be with you folks. It's good to know that you're out there listening somewhere. And I asked you time and time again, sit down and drop me a note. Just drop me a postcard. Some of you truckers out there, if you stop at the next coffee shop or rest area, get one of those little picture postcards and send it to me. Tell me where you're listening. Tell me how far the signal is going out and what station you're hearing us over, if you can tell. And tell me that you're interested in getting out the gospel. If you know the Lord, I believe you're interested in getting out the gospel. And that's what we do here. Day after day, we don't sugarcoat the message. We don't smooth it over. We know. We just give you, thus saith the Lord. I often call it the raw gospel. It hasn't been buttered up or smoothed up or all the sharp edge taken off of it. You know what's happening today in our churches, many of them? They take the sharp edge off of the gospel. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You don't hear that. Is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. You don't hear that. No, you hear, come on, trust Jesus. So I'm not going to go there at this time, but I wish you'd think about your soul. We're bringing you a study on the revelation of Jesus Christ. We've been there quite a while now, lengthy study, but we got a lot more material to go. We're only in the 12th chapter, and we're looking at a subject, war in heaven. Did you know it was a war? There's a war going on in heaven. We'll go on. And let's look there again. We looked last time at Michael, the old archangel. Now let's look at the other commander-in-chief of that war. There's always a man in charge. You know, like our great old generals of this country, there's one man at the top. Always one man. So we're looking now at the other commander-in-chief. That was old Satan. The old dragon, Satan. It says here in that ninth verse, the great dragon, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. We were talking about that in our last study, about being deceived. How many folks are deceived now about their soul's condition? Did you know you can be honestly wrong? You can be wrong about something. I've been things that I've thought for sure that I knew what I was talking about, and someone corrected me, and I was wrong, and I had to take the blame for being wrong. But old Satan has so many of our folks deceived now. He has the scales pulled down over the eyes of many of our people so that they can't see the truth. He's spoken of as a dragon, the old serpent, which sets forth his hideous character and his poisonous deceit as he deceives the whole world. Then he's spoken of as the devil, which means the slanderer. Did you know one of his greatest tricks, if you will, is to slander? He slanders you to God, slanders God to you. That's right. Oh, and all, I tell you, one of the tricks of Satan is to... He has those disciples of his who are unsaved with those long, gossipy tongue. That's a slanderous tongue, a gossiping tongue. Listen, he slanders God to man and then accuses man to God. The word devil comes from the Greek word diabolos, which means to literally throw something at another. To put it in our colloquial, it means to sling mud. You know, you hear that in the campaigns, in the political campaign. Well, they're mudslingers. No, they're slanderers. They're slandering. In the first two chapters of Job, we see him accusing man to God. And in the third chapter of Genesis, we find him slandering man to God. Then he's called Satan, which means, now you know what this word Satan means? Word study is a gracious study, my friend, just to know what words mean. I'm so afraid of our young generation who are coming up now without any background, any Bible background, no teaching at home, but they just don't know what things mean. And the word Satan means adversary. He's not your friend. He doesn't care for your soul. No, he'll laugh when you're thrown into hell. Satan is God's absolute adversary and ours. Satan is God's absolute adversary, and so is he ours. It is summed up in these words, which deceiveth the whole world. Oh, my friend, in 1 John 5:19, we are told, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness, in the lap of the devil, in the lap of Satan. Then in Galatians 6:7, we're commanded, be not deceived. Here is a picture of the whole world of mankind, unredeemed by the blood of Christ, lying asleep in the lap of Satan, the old deceiver, being deceived, being allured into a state of death, which is only the power of God can awaken a sinner. I liken Satan. Many of you know I'm just an old country boy, raised in the country, raised in the woods. And we used to hunt. My dad did. He loved to squirrel hunt and things like that. And in the woods, it'd be a sort of a path that you go down to get away from the briars and the bushes and all those things. And across those paths, an enormous spider. I don't know if it's one spider from another one, but that fella would weave a web, and he would string it all the way across one bush to another one. It'd make like a net. You couldn't hardly see it. It was invisible to the naked eye if you didn't watch real close. And he would perch himself up there somewhere on the top of that web, and poor unsuspecting flies, horse flies or regular old flies, would fly into that net. And it was sticky, and they couldn't get it loose once they got there. And as minute they hit that big old spider, I've watched them. I've sat and watched them. That big old spider would run, sail down that web, and sting that horsefly or fly or some other kind of critter. It would sting him to death. That's right. While he was struggling to get out of that sticky stuff, the old spider would sting him, and then he'd haul him off to his nest somewhere. And that's what Satan does. He puts up that web across your path. It may be a web of lust. It may be a web of love of prayer pleasure. It may be a web of pride. It may be a web of social standing. It may be a web of covetousness where you have to get this, have to get that, have to have this, have to have that. I got to have this. I got to have that. But that's a web. Satan puts that web up there, and then he puts up a web of slander. Well, you know, so-and-so did so-and-so, and you know, they go to whisper, and I tell folks that I know, don't whisper in my presence. When you whisper, you're telling something that nobody else is supposed to know. And it's most probably a slander. Don't whisper. Don't whisper. I've had folks be standing, talking together, and when I got close, they whisper. Oh, they lower their voice so you can't. They're whispering. That's the voice of Satan. I don't care who you are. Don't tell me I'm wrong. I know I am. If you can talk like that, talk it out where we can all hear it. If you praise in the Lord, let's all praise the Lord. If you have a burden on your heart, let's all have a burden on our heart. Tell us about it. But don't go to whispering. Oh, no, sir. I tell the children around here, they run whispering in their mama's ear something that their mama needs to know. I said, don't whisper. Don't do that. Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. That's not true. But listen, that's not the way to do things. Yes, Satan, we're there in Galatians, we're commanded to be not deceived. And we see this picture. The whole world, unredeemed by the blood of Christ, lying asleep in the lap of Satan, the old deceiver, being deceived, being allured into a state of death, out of which only the power of God, the Holy Spirit, can awaken. Oh, you say, Trailblazer, what do you mean by awaken? Every man is walking about, every woman, every boy, and every girl is walking about deceived in their natural state. They're deceived. I have folks who they lose a loved one, and they go back and try to figure out, was there ever a time in their life that individual made a decision for Jesus or had any kind of religious feeling whatsoever so that they might tell that at the funeral. That's right. I've told you before, maybe you didn't hear it. I had to conduct a funeral for a woman that I knew. And they had another preacher there. And he spoke before me. And he said they had to go back all the way back in the old church. They had built a new church and kept the old one for some other purpose. They had to go back in the archives of the old church and find out where this lady, when she was 7 years old, made a decision for Jesus. And now I know she's in heaven. But my friend, she was 65 years old. And what happened between 7 and 65? Oh, listen, my friend. If you're saved, folks will know it. They don't have to go back and look on some old record somewhere, which means nothing. That means not a thing in the world. I had a man ask me not long ago, said, Trailblazer, how you get to be a member of your church? I said, be here when the doors open. Be here when the broadcast comes on. Be here. Just be here. Whoever got all that up, I mean, it's well and good to have a record, but we don't, that's not necessary. No. A lot of folks keep those records to see how much that you gave during the year. We don't do that. My goodness alive. But listen, how many of our folks have been deceived. What a list of names given to this old character, Satan. It reminds me of a den of rattlesnakes. A den of rattlesnakes. Oh, yeah, a whole den of them. And I wish we could get our eyes open to the truth, my friend, and see that we're not dealing with a little tin soldier when it comes to Satan, our old adversary. I think that'd be a great truth to learn today and this and the rest of this week. That we're not dealing with a tin soldier when we're dealing with Satan. We're dealing with a great old adversary, the archenemy of Christ, archenemy of the Jews, archenemy of the gospel, and archenemy of every born-again believer who ever has stood. Now, do you see how useless and fruitless it is for us preachers and teachers or laymen to go forth in our own strength to combat this great personality? No, whose headquarters are in the heavenlies, in whose lap the world lies asleep. Can you just imagine how impossible it is for me as God's messenger to lead you to Christ? No, I can't do that. You know, I hear a lot about great soul winners, my friend. There's no such a thing as a soul winner. All you can do is tell them the truth. Be true to their soul, if you want to call that. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these Sunday school teachers that get all the children together on a certain Sunday, and they say, you know, we're going to have decision night tonight, and don't you trust Jesus? Don't you love Jesus? And so they have decision day, and they march them out in the auditorium for the 11 o'clock service, and the pastor says, now this little group of children want to make a decision for Jesus. And so they take them in there, and they seals them for eternity. And then they come back tonight, tell Grandma and Grandpa, we're going to baptize y'all tonight. Those little 6 and 7 and 8 year old children, baptized, thinking that salvation. They go through life deceived. Oh, how many pastors, how many preachers, how many evangelists are going to spend eternity lost and undone because they were deceived by Satan and deceived others. I hear that song said there'll be preachers in their congregation. And I heard that. There's a song out like that. One of the verses says there'll be preachers and their congregation. But my friend, do you know what? The Lord's still saving sinners. I wish you'd turn to him. We're going to have to give our time gone at this time. But we'll be back in our next study. Pick it up there, looking at old Satan. And you don't have to be afraid of Satan. No, if you're God's child, you tell Satan to get thee behind my back, Satan. And then if you're not saved, ask the Lord to restrain Satan. The scripture says resist him and he'll flee from you. You just resist him. Don't cave in. Don't get that notion to go get drunk. Don't get that notion to go have a good time. Don't do that. No. Stay home and read the scriptures and ask the Lord to save you. The Lord will save you. Greatest thing that ever happens to an individual is to be saved. To come down to the end of life, look up in the face of those standing around the bed and say, you know the Lord saved me. You know the Lord saved me. Isn't that grace? The Lord saved this poor sinner, opened his eyes to see that he was a lost sinner, and gave him a cry after the righteousness of Christ, which is our only cover. And remember my mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.